Noval, your roving reporter for the Society of Neurolinguistic Programming. Today we're here in London with a very special guest, Mr. Paul McKenna of Paul McKenna Training. Hello.
Hi, it's really nice to see you, Kathleen.
Good to see you too, Paul. I'd like to know a little bit about your first experiences with NLP. How did you discover NLP? The trainings, the courses?
Well, I was a radio DJ. I went to interview the local hypnotist. This would be back in the mid-80s. And I was feeling very stressed that day. I'd had a particularly bad week. I had broken up with my girlfriend. I'd had a row with my boss. I was unhappy where I was living because there was noise all the time. And I arrived at the local hypnotist's house, and I sat down in his study, and I was chatting away. And he said, "You seem very stressed." He said, "Let me show you how you can feel more relaxed." And he did some hypnosis. I mean, I was skeptical. I sat back and I thought, yeah, right. But I was benevolently skeptical. I went along with his suggestions. And I relaxed into a trance and I felt fantastic. About 20 minutes later when I awoken, I felt like a burden had lifted. And he said, "You really needed that." And I said, "God, I feel so good. Have you got any books on this kind of thing?" And he lent me Transformations. And I went away and read it, and it made so much sense. But also what I liked was how intelligently written, how many layers there were to it. I read it several times, and each time I discovered something new. And in addition to that, I began to try some of the techniques on my friends. I did self-hypnosis, started practicing that, and pretty much it worked. And so within a short space of time, you know, whenever I mentioned to anyone I was into hypnosis, they'd say, "Go on, demonstrate it." So I'd be at a party, and everyone had asked me to turn someone into a washing machine or a kangaroo, and we'd all fall about laughing. But then people asked me to help them quit smoking and lose weight or, you know, pass their exams at school. And it consistently worked. And so I became absolutely fascinated with playing with NLP.
And what was your first experience in NLP? Did you go to a training? And who was that with?
I read Richard and John's books. And I then watched lots of videos of Milton. And I met a guy called Michael Breen at a party. And Michael was really nice. He was very interesting. And he seemed to be one of the more normal people I'd met, because I'd met quite a few NLP people who I think it's fair to say were condescending. You know, they had a sort of superior piousness about them, because, you know, they thought they were special. They knew something that everyone else didn't. And so that kind of kept me away from NLP for a while. Michael Breen seemed pretty down to earth, and he was very friendly and just, you know, really took his time to, you know, to talk through things with me. I became fascinated. Me and Michael became friends. And at the same time, I also met Michael Neal, who was working in a bookshop, a New Age bookshop. And I thought, what a nice, friendly guy he is. And he told me he was interested in NLP as well. And so I began to meet really nice, cool people that were doing NLP. And I learned bits of it from the two Michaels and from the books I read. And basically, just by getting stuck in and trying it out. And I was more interested in, I suppose, hypnosis originally. So I'd, you know, read the books about Milton and watch videotapes of him and just practice trial and error. And I saw that Richard Bandler was in town doing a seminar. And so I signed up for, there were two different seminars, and I couldn't make it along to the beginning of the first seminar. And I showed up, I remember that day, and I saw this guy walk on the stage. And I thought, there's something different about him. He's not like anyone else. And he did the most hilarious demonstration, because a lot of the people in the audience were sort of, you know, shrinks and psychologists. They seemed very serious. And Richard said, "I want you to go into a trance and find a good feeling so good it makes you want to come in your pants." At which point I nearly fell off my chair laughing. And the shrinks were somewhat shocked by, you know, this irreverent style. And I thought, well, more than the immense skill that I saw him demonstrate that I was astounded by, I just loved his attitude. I thought, I'd like to have, you know, that kind of ballsy attitude to life, that kind of invincibility. And the humor, I laughed so hard for a couple of days. I couldn't stop laughing. It was so funny, his presentations were. And I thought he probably wouldn't approve of me because I was a stage hypnotist at the time. You know, I gave up being a radio broadcaster, and I had a very successful career as a stage hypnotist doing a show on television. And I thought Richard probably wouldn't approve because a lot of the clinicians didn't. And I walked up to say hello to him. I said, "Hi, I love your work." And he says, "You're the guy on TV." And I said, "Yes." And he went, "Love your show." And then we kind of hit it off. And he came to see I had a show that evening. He came to see it. And backstage, myself, Richard and Paula were chatting. And he said he'd read my book. And what I thought was really interesting was when I wrote a book back in 1993, and I'm not a writer. I actually failed English at school, but I had something to say. I was fascinated by hypnosis, and I was actually asked by a publisher to write this book, and I hummed and ahed, and eventually I just did it. I got a lot of help. But I realized by looking in the index, I'd quoted Richard more than anybody else. And I thought, I must like him. I must have a lot in common with this guy to quote him more than any other person.
What is the name of this book, by the
way? It's called The Hypnotic World of Paul McKenna. I think it's out of print now. I mean, it's a sort of encyclopedic, pocket-sized overview of hypnosis, a bit of NLP, tiny bit of self-improvement, but a lot of it is sort of history of and, you know, that kind of thing, mm-hmm. and sort of how it's used in different areas, therapy, you know, police work, all sorts of different things. And we became friends, and I traveled to San Francisco to talk to him about, you know, maybe us doing a training or something, you know, and it was a very exciting time. And it was fascinating to hear the stories. I used to drive Richard mad with Milton stories and Gregory Bateson stories and Virginia stories and, you know, things like that. And I made a documentary about hypnosis, and we came to Germany and filmed Richard and featured him in the program. And shortly afterwards, we got together and decided we'd put some kind of training on. And he said, "I want to do a training that lasts over a year." And I said, "Well, we might get like 20 people show up." It was quite expensive. It was about £5,000 for this training. And he said, "Oh, okay, well, I hope we'll get a few more than that." Well, of course, I wasn't ready for it. We had 150 people subscribe to it, which was great.
Wow.
Yeah, it was the very first training. And I learned a lot, really. Cut my teeth doing that, I think. And myself and Michael and Richard worked pretty hard on that. And then afterwards, I remember thinking that it was a shame that NLP wasn't available in a quality format to the mainstream, because there were a lot of people doing, very mainstream rah-rah-rah type self-improvement training, which are great for motivation and that sort of thing. But there was nobody offering great skill. And so I asked Richard, you know, what's the sort of shortest amount of time we could do a practitioner in? And it also kind of infuriated me at the time. There were a lot of people stealing Richard's work, and they were attacking him or saying disparaging things, I think probably to suppress their own guilt. And I wanted to get it, to get the quality that I had seen of his work out there to lots of people. And, you know, it just was something I was very passionate about. And I said, "I know what we'll do. Why don't we do a short practitioner taking all the best elements and charge £300? Because everyone was charging about £2,000. And it was for two reasons. It was to get it out there, but it was also to piss all these other people off. You know, that's actually been a very important driving force in my life. Other people who I thought really needed to be taught a lesson. And so we put this practitioner course on, and of course the other people that were offering the expensive trainings, they'd never trained with him, they'd read a few of his books, you know, got furious, and they contacted us and told us we couldn't do it, and they wouldn't recognize our certificates. And Richard turned around and said, "I know, we won't recognize their existence on the planet." And again, I thought we'd have a few takers, and we couldn't. We booked a room that could hold 400 people, which at the time felt like the biggest training in the world, and it probably was the biggest NLP training at that time. And and we sold it out real quick. And so then suddenly we started. You know, we put more on, and we put the price up, and you know, we realized that we'd actually we'd found something that we loved doing and that was a good business. And so it kind of grew from there. And, you know, I've very big plans. I want to get what it is that we're able to offer the world out to as many people as possible. And I think bigger seminars and television and the internet are the ways to do that.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about the kind of seminars your company offers.
We're an NLP training company. We offer a practitioner, master practitioner, and a trainer training. Our practitioner is 7 days, and it's quite dynamic. It's big numbers. I mean, the last one we did was 750 people. Whilst we're offering skills, we're also offering outcomes. We're specifically helping people to become more positive, motivated, more optimistic, and as well as that, to acquire skills in being able to turn around behaviors, become a more flexible and creative communicator. But we want people to come away having been thoroughly uplifted. So it's partly skills training, but it's also one which is offering benefits as well, outside of those, in terms of personal development. The master practitioner is very much more skills-based. Although, you know, if you sit with people doing techniques that are going to make you feel good day in, day out for a couple of weeks, actually it's 10 days, isn't it? You can't help but come away feeling better and being a more functional human being. And we also offer trainings. The other category that I'm very keen on is weight loss. I've developed a system over the last 15 years, and it's a number of things. It employs some of the NLP techniques, particularly around self-image and controlling compulsions. And it has a very high statistical success rate. In fact, the highest statistical success rate of any weight loss system in the world right now. And I'm very proud of that, and I tend to pioneer that. I'm also planning to do a confidence seminar in the new year coming. And so primarily we are an NLP training company. We're a sort of boutique training company. You know, we're not interested in offering all things to all people, but we want to make NLP available to as a wider audience as possible, and also in a very dynamic kind of contemporary way. I think what we've done is learned from perhaps the glamour that some people are able to offer in their trainings and the sort of dynamic presentation style. And we've combined that with our desire for technical excellence when teaching. And to me, it's a bit like being in a band. Richard and myself and Michael and John, your husband, and other people that we choose to work with, we've all got our own unique style. I mean, that's one of the great things about when we train. It's like being in a band. And, you know, we have the great songwriter and lead vocalist in the form of Richard Bandler. And I think the rest of us have our own strengths as well that we contribute. And because, you know, we're basically doing 90-minute sets, more or less, then a break and then another 90-minute, two-hour set. It's relentless. I mean, you know, people come away with a significant life change from attending our events, and they have a lot of fun, and they learn stuff that's real useful as well. And hopefully they get some of the attitude, because I've noticed even when NLP is done really badly, it still works. You know, even if people just sort of like parrot the techniques out. But when you combine that with some attitude, which is one of the things that I think is key that you come away with from a Richard Bandler training, is that real kind of curiosity about human beings, and that tenacity and that attitude that, you know, you ain't gonna take no shit, then I think that it empowers the technology significantly.
You've also taken NLP to a new dimension into reality TV, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I've had a huge hit with my reality TV show, I Can Change Your Life. And what I did here was we found 20 incurables. Now, many of these people have things like phobias or compulsions or addictions, and they've been to see everybody else, and they got cured. But we also found people who were medically incurable as well. There was a guy with Tourette's, a lady with multiple sclerosis, and there was, just trying to think, what were the other medical conditions that I worked with? Oh, things like post-traumatic stress. There were all sorts of different disorders. Now, the chap with Tourette's, he had an 80% improvement. In other words, an 80% reduction in the motor tics and the verbal tics. And he, you know, he's had a significant life change. There was a gentleman who was blind, Originally, it was thought to be hysterical blindness, but we discovered that there is neurological damage, and he hadn't seen anything for 8 years. Nothing. He had an accident on a construction site, and we started doing, you know, I started working with him, and over a period of a few months, his vision has come back, and he saw his wife's face for the first time in 8 years recently. I mean, it was a moving, moving program, powerful bit of television. And he hasn't got his sight back fully, but he can see certain things now. And more than anything, he's a much happier person. So what we wanted to show was, I suppose that first of all, amazing things are possible. And we want to embarrass the therapy community, which is a lifelong quest of mine, because, as we know, many of those people are well-intentioned, but what they're doing is fucking load of shit, taking people's money to sit there and listen to them jabber on about their problems rather than actually do something. So what I did was politely try to offend the therapy community best I could by showing them up, showing how impotent most of them are, and by saying that programming is what it's about, yeah? And so I wanted to not just demonstrate it, I wanted to put it in the face of the therapy community and say, come on, chaps, it's time we raised the game here, yeah? And I think we've done that. It's been a somewhat controversial series, which is what I intended. And mm-hmm. I wanted to make it so that people's expectations of getting better are higher than ever before. We very much are selling hope with that program. Because when people see what's possible, they see that they needn't have a lifelong phobia, you know, and have to go to support groups and talk about it and all that crap. They can actually get over a phobia in about an hour. I mean, I would say 98% of the phobias I've ever done have been a one session, one or 1.5 hour job, and that's it. It's done forever. Occasionally, there's somebody you need to do a little reinforcement with. But, you know, you've got people still going to psychiatrists for 6 months using systematic desensitization. And if they don't get them better, sometimes they end up worse. So I really want to see a stop brought to that kind of approach to helping people. Very often it's by well-intentioned people that are using techniques from the 19th century. Well, the future is upon us, and we're getting better and better at helping people, just as there's been amazing technological developments. If you think about all the things that we can do nowadays that we couldn't do, say, 10 years ago. Let's take a cellular telephone. You know, used to be the size of a brick. Now it's the size of a bar of chocolate. And, you know, look at all the functions you've got. You can make little movies on it. And in the same way, psychological technology is improving at this dramatic rate. And so I see NLP at the forefront as we're really sort of high-tech hypnotists of the 21st century. And I'm on a mission to make a significant change to the world. And so far, it's going according to plan.
Yes, absolutely. Now, Paul, I'm someone like you. You have a lot of charisma. You have great talent. And certainly, you could have been successful at many different things. Mm. So why NLP?
Well, I have thought this because I probably could have made a lot. Because people say to me, they go, oh, I bet you make a lot of money. And that was never my main motivation. I mean, obviously, I like, you know, being commercially successful. But if I was interested just in making money, I'd have gone into banking or oil like a lot of my friends. But I really quite like working with people. I mean, I suppose I had assumed as a child I would be well known. I don't know how I knew that. There was a sense of destiny. But I was really quite happy playing records, stuck in my little goldfish bowl, not having much human contact, but somehow, you know, talking to lots of people over the airwaves. And then after that chance meeting with a local hypnotist, and then subsequently the things that followed, my life took on a direction. I started to use NLP techniques, you know, go out along the timeline, way out into the future, and look back and think, what do I wish I'd done more of, and what do I wish I'd done less of? And as a result, I decided to make some significant changes. You know, I'd ask myself that question that all the motivational speakers use: what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? And I thought, God, if I couldn't fail, I wouldn't be a radio DJ. I'd be a hypnotist. I'd do shows on television. I'd have a training company. I'd make self-improvement products, books and CDs. And then I thought, well, who would I have to become? I'd have to be prepared to take risks. I'd have to educate myself about certain things. I'd have to have a very different attitude. You know, I wasn't as confident as I feel now about the work that I'm doing, I sort of fumbled my way through it. Now I'm quite a relentlessly determined person. You know, perhaps sometimes a little too full on, I think. You know, I do feel very, very driven. And I'm quite happy trying to be an overachiever. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's more than just a job. It's my life's work. It's a mission.
Yes, absolutely.
But it's, I'll pick up. Yep. I mean, I know very, very well what my life is going to be about the next 50 years or so. And I've got a very strong sense of purpose and a vision of what I want to be able to contribute to the world.
So this is definitely more than a job.
Oh, absolutely, God. You know that thing they say, find something you love to do and you'll never work again. I mean, that's true for me. But again, without wishing to, you know, quote too many cliches or sayings, I think Gandhi's saying, "My life is my message," is one of my favorite quotes. And NLP allows me to bring my message to the world.
That's wonderful. I was about to ask you about a favorite quote of yours, maybe from Richard. Is there one thing particular that he said that just kind of keeps repeating in there?
So many. Do you know, I remember, I want to tell you a very funny story. I was years ago when the Neurosonics cassettes first came out, and they arrived in the post along with a very glossy, well-packaged American tape set. And my girlfriend said, "Wow, this tape set looks good." And she looked at the one that was commercially packaged and the Neurosonics one, which was, it was much more kind of, I'm trying to think of the right word for it, but it wasn't...
Homemade looking?
Yeah, homemade looking. That's it. You know, not sort of high end, you know. High, right. And she went, "This looks good." And I said, "Well, actually, which one of these do you think is the best? Because I think I know which one I'm looking forward." And she went, "Oh, no, that one's going to be better, isn't it? Because the effort's gone into the content rather than the packaging." I said, "Yeah," I said, "that's what I suspect." Anyway, I put it on and I listened to it and I was like, "Oh, this is good." I mean, now, having worked with Richard for more than 10 years, I know, I really understand what he was doing with those. And he explained to me that he worked harder on that than any other single thing that he's done. And God, they're so good, that system. And I remember just walking along the street in Thailand, and a significant number of changes had happened in my life. And, you know, I was on holiday in Thailand and I heard his voice come into my head and it went, "And things change." And I went, "Ooh, that is spooky," because things had changed. And I remember thinking, this stuff really works. I mean, there are many, many quotes that I was actually thinking of doing a little book of Richard quotes. I mean, I like disappointment requires adequate planning, which is very entertaining. I remember somebody talking to him once about how she'd felt so low that she thought about killing herself. And he turned and said, "Suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem." Made me laugh. There are just so many great quotes. But I really like that he says that that many people have said that his work is about marketing, it's about therapy, it's about influence, it's about mind control, it's about all sorts of things. He said, "My work is about one thing, and that's freedom."
That's great. Is there any message you would like to give those people listening to this interview who might be considering whether or not I should begin training in NLP? Mm. And then maybe one for the NLP trainers that are out there. What piece of advice would you give them in terms of bringing NLP from their institute to their audiences?
Well, I think absolutely everybody can benefit from NLP. I've worked with people who are amongst the highest achievers in the world, and I've worked with people who are amongst the most challenged, incurables. And I think one of the things that I've noticed from my work with people, either in groups or as individuals, is that whenever I ask people, "Are you living up to your potential?" nobody ever says, "Oh, absolutely, I'm at 100% of my potential." Everyone goes, "Well, you know, I probably have got more in me. I could probably do things better." And what I would say is, if you want the quickest, easiest, and most fun way of accessing your greatest potential, NLP is it. Right now, it's the state of the art in personal development, and I can't see anything that's going to come close. I mean, you know, we all get surprised by some great new technique every now and again, but there's nothing as a body of work out there that even comes close. And I would say that if your life is absolutely fantastic and you wouldn't change anything about it, you could still say, how would I like to have more of what I already have? Yeah. Even if your life is perfect, how would you like it to be even more perfect? And I believe that NLP can provide you that. It's not a religion. It's, you know, doesn't require dogmatic beliefs. It is, Richard describes it as a curiosity about human beings, a methodology that leaves behind it a trail of techniques. And what I like about it is that everybody that gets interested in NLP brings their own unique approach to it. So the things that people that have studied with me learn to do with it or go off and create with it are completely different to anything I could have done, because they've got their own unique personality and beliefs and purpose in life. So it really is a way of empowering human beings. And I think that's what's so wonderful. It's not like you just learn a technique. It's that you get curious about human beings. You get curious about yourself and about life. And suddenly you're able to do so much more. So it really gives you a much bigger canvas on which to paint beauty in your lifetime.
Wonderful. I mean, Paul, you've kind of reached all the aspects of NLP. I mean, you've even taken hypnosis to Broadway in New York City.
Yes.
Taken it to reality TV. You've written how many books?
I've written about 5 books now. But I mean, really, I am just getting started. I've got very big plans. You know, I'd like everyone to be learning this in school. I want to be on the air all over the world, showing people that change, miraculous change, is possible. It's quick, it's easy, and it's lasting, and everybody should know how to do it. And, you know, it's my intention to make the world a better place through NLP in the form of mass telecommunications delivered to people all over the world in a simple, easy-to-understand way that everyone can benefit from. So I've got a very big plan. You know, instead, at the moment, we've got 750 people coming on our practitioners. I'd like 7,000. I'd like 70,000. I'd like to be playing Wembley Stadium with it. I'd like to be doing it, you know, daily to millions of people across the world, and think what would happen. Because right now, a big problem we have in the world is fear. Fear is the cause of a lot of the world's problems, you know, particularly in relation to aggression. A lot of the aggression is fear-based aggression. All the racial hatred and all of that sort of stuff basically comes from fear. And if we can make people feel better in themselves, the world's going to be a better place, and it will take on a sort of exponential momentum. And what will happen is there will be a mass transformation, I hope, within my lifetime. I don't think that suddenly all the world's problems are going to disappear, but the consciousness will raise, and it'll be a nicer place to live.
Thank you very much, Paul. It was really great having you with us today. And we wish you all the best of luck and success in your future endeavors.
Thank you.
We're looking forward to seeing wonderful things coming down, new ideas.
Thank you, Kathleen. It's lovely to talk to you. Nice questions. It was very interesting. Thank you.
This is Kathleen Lavalle, your roving reporter for the Society of NLP. And look forward to the next time when we have another trainer from around the world.